Let us pray. Lord God, open our ears to hear your word. Open our minds so that we can understand. And open up our hearts to your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Not too long ago, a woman took her husband to the doctor's office. And after his checkup, the doctor said, "Ma'am, your husband is suffering from a very serious infection." And the husband, who was hard of hearing, said, "What did he say?" And the wife said, "He said you're sick." And the doctor went on, "But there's hope, ma'am. You just need to reduce his stress. Each morning, give him a healthy breakfast. Be pleasant, nice, and kind. For lunch and dinner, make his favorite meal. And don't discuss your problems with him. It will only make his stress worse. Don't yell at him or argue with him. And most importantly, just cater to your husband's every whim and desire. If you do this, your husband, for the next 6 months to a year, I think he'll make a complete recovery." And the husband said to his wife, "What'd he say?" And the wife said to the husband, "He says you're going to die." In the Bible, it's the wife of Job who says to Job, "Job, just curse God and die." In other words, get on with it, Job. Maybe it was Job's wife's frustrations with his station in life for the fact that they had lost almost everything. Or maybe she was looking for someone to blame. But all that befell Job. He did not blame God for what had happened. The story of Job for us modern people is very problematic. A man who lived long ago loses everything. Children, livestock, servants, property, everything. And what is the cause of this great loss? Well, the short answer, God. If you read the story of Job, we find it's a divine wager that is between God and Satan. And it appears, upon reading, that Job is just a pawn in this game. To us, this story is just wrong. It violates our sensibilities and understanding of what we think we know about God. Because God is all-loving, all-powerful, all-knowing. And he doesn't do this type of stuff to us. Especially to someone who doesn't deserve it. We like to see the Bernie Madoffs of the world lose it all. Not for guys like Job who have done nothing. This is the problem with Job's story. Job didn't do anything, and yet he loses immeasurably. And the age-old question comes to our mind, why do bad things happen to good people? And that question made popular by author Rabbi Harold Kushner with his book of the same question with the title. Whether it be a loss of a job or a death of a loved one, a heartbreak, a major illness, or even injury, we ask, why God? Why me? You don't have to lose everything to feel like at some point in your life that God has abandoned you. When people come into contact with us through experiences and friends and family, even strangers, sometimes we give or we've heard well-intended but unhelpful platitudes. Things like, everything happens for a reason, or this too shall pass, or God needed another angel in heaven, or God never sends people things more than they can handle. These expressions don't exactly help when two parents are grieving the loss of their newborn child, or when someone has just been fired. For Christians, grief and loss can be especially painful because somewhere woven into our faith experience are thoughts of, is God punishing me? Am I being tested? Or there has to be a reason for this. These are the same types of things that Job's three friends dialogue with him later in the book of Job. And they try to make sense of Job's suffering by laying blame to some sort of unrepented sin, or maybe someone in his household had sinned. And yet Job continues to suffer and does not blame God or sin because of it. If we want to understand suffering, grief, and loss, then perhaps we must dive into the darkness of human history and look to those who have seen the horrors of evil and have survived. In 1941, Viktor Frankl was a Jewish psychiatrist who was sent, along with his wife, Tilly, to Auschwitz. He spent 3 years in four concentration camps. And in 1945, after going through awful tribulations and seeing the depth of the darkness of humanity, he, in a span of 9 days, wrote Man's Search for Meaning. In his book, he recalls and describes the horrible and deadly experience of the Holocaust under the rule of the Nazis. And he tells of the atrocities of the Holocaust and speaks about his pain and suffering. But Frankl wrote that in the face of suffering, he saw what happened to those who gave up. He wrote, "The prisoner who had lost faith in the future was doomed. The loss of hope and courage had a deadly effect. Woe to those who saw no more sense in their life, no aim, no purpose, and therefore no point in carrying on. They were soon lost." Clearly, to Frankl, there was a loss of hope in his mind that occurred in the hearts of these prisoners. They rejected their possibility for hope, and they rejected the possibility that things could ever change. For Job, he accepted his reality. He accepted what had happened to him, much like Viktor Frankl. Job sat in grief, tore his clothes, shaved his head, and sat in ashes. Job experienced suffering. But experiencing grief is not a sign of weakness, but it's a sign that you are dealing with something that is bigger than yourself. And in grief, by embracing it, you experience what it feels like to deal with a loss that you cannot control. But isn't that part of our modern problem? With all of our advances in technology and education and medicine, there are still things that we cannot control. We can send a spacecraft out of our solar system and take pictures of the universe, but there are still things that we cannot control. And Job, he knew that he was not in control. And this is what I call the mystery of suffering, that we can always not control what happens to us. And there is not always a reason why. There are some things in this life that are a mystery and remain a mystery until we reach heaven and ask God why. When I was just 15 years old, I first encountered this mystery of suffering. Upon learning that one of my best friends in high school had cystic fibrosis, I thought it was something you could just live with or control, like diabetes. At a time when most children didn't live to 16 or 17 years old with cystic fibrosis, but now can live longer, it was shocking to learn that with cystic fibrosis, your lungs literally fill up with fluid and you drown and die. And at 15, I had to learn this painful news that my friend, Oliver, was in the hospital and not doing well. Oliver had befriended me as a freshman in high school, and he, as an upperclassman, showed great friendship and grace and humor. And before the advent of cell phones and laptops and the ability to communicate was so easy, I had to rely on reports from other friends. However, the reports were getting worse and worse, and Oliver was not doing well. I didn't have a license at the time and couldn't drive, so I had to make arrangements with different friends. And finally, after arranging that ride, I decided to go. But before I went to go visit him, I decided to call him to tell him that I was coming. And I remember, as I made the phone call to his room, a nurse picked up the phone, and I asked for my friend. And there was a very unexpected long pause. She said, "I'm sorry to tell you this, but Oliver died this morning." The news was shocking. I suddenly felt like someone had just punched me in the chest. I couldn't breathe. I started to cry like I'd never cried before. The waves of pain and sadness were just too great to handle. Not only did I have to deal with the news of the death of my friend, but I also had to deal with the guilt that I waited too long to visit him. There was a double blow to this grief. I was angry at God. "God, how could you let this happen? Why me? Why Oliver? He didn't do anything." This is when I entered into the mystery of suffering. When Job entered into his mystery of suffering, he was not burdened with such questions of why or how, or even how dare you, God, how dare you do this to me. But Job entered into the mystery of suffering and went through it successfully, if I could say that. And what I mean by that is, he did not self-destruct or blame God. But Job sought out help. He sought out his friends. And though that they were not always helpful, they were able to help him process his grief. I think Job discovered not the answer to suffering or why, but how to go through the mystery of suffering. In Man's Search for Meaning, Viktor Frankl described this as how he found hope and the ability to get through the Holocaust and concentration camps. He described how one ought to experience and take on suffering, and how he was able to do it. He wrote, "What is really needed is a fundamental change in our attitude towards life. We have to learn for ourselves and teach those who are despairing that it really doesn't matter what we expect from life, but rather what life expects from us. We need to stop asking about the meaning of life and instead to think of ourselves as those who were being questioned by life, daily and hourly." And he writes this, "Our answer must not consist not in talk and meditation, but in right action and right conduct." For us, in our humanity, there is always a limit to our understanding of calamity and suffering and loss and grief. And Job learned the limit of our human ability to understand that the world is not found in placing ourselves at the center, but by placing God at the center. Then and only then can we start to get a handle on our seemingly painful and unanswered questions and loss. As I entered into the mystery of suffering with the death of my good friend, I learned this lesson of limits. That instead of placing myself at the center of my friend's loss, I began to give thanks for God for blessing me and others with the life of Oliver. Because God could have created a world without my friend. And I think that would have been a shame. Though painful and a short time he lived, God gifted me and others with a good friend, with a brother. We read in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. In the end, with the story of Job, God restores Job, his losses, and even sees the fourth generation of his family. Job is finally restored, and through his faithfulness, learns what it means to place God at the center of his life. When you find yourself facing loss, grief, tragedy, or struggle, look to the story of Job. Instead of trying to reach inward for strength, reach outward. Instead of cursing or blaming God, draw closer to God in prayer. And above all else, remember, if God can take the death of Jesus, something so painful and horrible, and transform it into something good and new, then God can take whatever you are going through and redeem it and make it into something good and new. He can shape it, mold it, and transform it. Let us pray. Lord, as all of us struggle with some degree of challenge in our life, we pray that you may be constantly with us in all of the struggles of our life. Lord, as it is in the moments of misery and suffering that we begin to learn the limits of our ability. God, help us to know that when we are facing life's biggest struggles, that we can't do it on our own. We need you, we need others. God, help redeem all that has gone wrong. Help us draw nearer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.